The episode you're about to listen to is from an unreleased episode of an earlier incarnation of the Away Team. These were Adam and I's first impressions of Star Trek Discovery back in 2017. There may be issues with events and future events within the show, but this hasn't been heard since it was deleted from the internet back in 2018. Sit back and enjoy.
Captain Archer of the battlecruiser Enterprise.
This is Captain James Kirk of the USS Enterprise.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, captain of the Enterprise.
This is Captain Sisko of the USS Defiant.
My name is Catherine Janeway.
Prune juice, chilled.
Welcome to the Away Team, a Star Trek podcast. A podcast that is designed to comment and critique each episode of Star Trek in canonical order, with a bit of a twist. An Away Team minisode. I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Wright.
And yes, this one's a week late, but we still did it anyway, as promised. We're doing two episodes this week. Mm-hmm. So we are looking back on the episode, Magic Makes the Sanest Man Go Mad. Fucking A, dude. If they can't learn to fucking shorten these goddamn titles...
I kind of like that title.
I'm gonna fucking go crazy. I mean, at least in this one, it's English, as opposed to some of the other titles they've done with the butcher's knife cares not for the lamb's cry, or you know,
like, am I reading the Bible?
I know.
Like,
what the fuck? Suddenly, it's like Article One. You know, it's like,
yeah,
it's like you're reading the Magna Carta, and you're like, oh, fuck this shit.
The Magna Carta.
This one, actually, really cool episode. This was of the season thus far, I would have to say this is the most Trekkie Trek that we've had.
Yeah.
Of course, we get the return of Harry Mudd. What were some of the things that you really liked about it?
I just liked the whole.
We got the causality.
The whole premise of it.
The causality, like, loop. I always love the cause. When Trek gets good for me is when we get that causality loop. When you start repeating shit, I kind of dig that, especially when the ship blows up.
Yeah.
You know, like, because I think I talked with you about Cause and Effect. Oh, no, we watched that the last time when you were here. Didn't we watch Cause and Effect? So you keep seeing the Enterprise blow up, and you're kind of like, that's kind of cool, because you know it's like, we know it's not going to ever blow up anymore, but that gives them the chance to, let's blow it up from every possible angle, because we're never going to have to use that again.
I mean, I just dig the whole thing. I love Mudd, too, the actor that played. It's so good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in this one, I like the fact that they kind of didn't rush that part, like the time loops and the way they were going back. I really dug that. It was funny too, because it was one of those of like, okay, who's the one that's going to figure it out? Because, you know, in every Trek episode that has a time loop, there's always somebody that doesn't. What was it? Oh, like in yesterday's Enterprise, it was Guinan. You know, whose life doesn't go through the standard linear timeline. You know, there's always somebody that kind of figures it out. So I was always kind of wondering who it was. And it was Stant that figured out, you know, because of course, you know, because he bonds with the spore drive, naturally pulls him out of existence. I kind of dug his kind of crazy, kind of almost, what was it called? Oh, hippie kind of stance kind of came out and just was like, it kind of crescendoed at this point, because obviously it changes in the next week. But it was kind of cool because it kind of gave characters a chance to like bond, especially Michael, you know, in the relationship with her and Ash, and even with Stant, you know, his, you know, with him figuring it out. And it was kind of cool for Lorca, because Lorca really could give a fuck in like that whole beginning part of the episode when they're like, you know, we're going to beam it up. I want to run point on this. I don't care. I should go with her too. Still don't care, you know?
Yeah. I kind of love the captain. Like, he's just like, whatever, just get it the fuck done.
Yeah. And that was like, don't care. Still don't care, you know? And then one of the cool things was, is how many times it happened. I thought that was kind of cool because normally it's like, it's usually once an act in the old series, you know, you get that and then it comes back, you know, then it resets. But this one, you kind of, the part that really got me was how many times Mud killed Lorca. And you saw,
just for fun at that point, yeah, too. Like, he's like, whatever.
And you just see all the different ways he killed him. The one that was the harshest was beaming him out into space.
That was the funniest one, though.
I know. It was the funniest. It was the harshest when you see him beam out, sits in the chair, and then all of a sudden in that corner, you just see him go. And then you're like, he kind of chokes for a second and then just lifeless going through. I was like, fuck, dude. That was harsh.
Well, Mud's just sitting there. Like, whatever.
Anything you didn't like about it?
No, I thought it was a fun episode, and those are hard to like really hate or dislike.
Yeah,
I it wasn't anything. It was a fun little ride. It wasn't too serious.
It was an isolated episode. Like if you didn't, the only thing, and they even explain that in the episode is why Ash and Lorca knew Mud. But that was explained, like, so it's almost kind of like you didn't need to really see any of the other episodes. It was like a good jumping on point.
I guess the ending felt rushed to me. It was a smooth ending, like when they called the chick that he ditched on. Yeah, Stella. But he got on that pad a little quicker than I would have liked. Like, I would have seen at least a little boasting or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I did like that little line at the end, the dad of Stella. Where he's like, the Federation is an entity I don't want to be indebted to.
The Starfleet. And it's like, you know, how can we square this way? Just make sure he stays out of Starfleet's way.
Like, no problem. Yeah.
I love too, like, you see still, you know, hardcore, you see her all nice and sweet. And then when he's like, you know, it's difficult to explain, then she grabs him by the collar and goes, try. You're like, oh, right. Okay. Like that little,
she was cute though too,
yeah, you know, but then it was like the same time of like you get that little grab and it's like try, and then you're kind of like, okay, all right, I see how she is.
But she was he came up with a story real fucking quick though.
Oh yeah, you know he does. Know. You know he would. And one of the things that this was only like, and I think this is a testament to the episode, to this, to me in this one, the only complaint that I had is nitpick. And it's the music that they used for the party. I was like, really? Wyclef is still in the 23rd century?
Yeah, that I agree with that too. Like they're trying too hard to make it relatable.
Yeah.
You know, and they that's also something they did in the movie. And while I love the sabotage fucking moment in Star Trek Beyond, it's still cheesy as fuck.
Oh yeah. You are going for that cheese. And the thing was is that and I've always had this issue, and it's not just Trek. I can't watch A Knight's Tale, the one with Heath Ledger, because their soundtrack is all modern music, but it's set in medieval times.
I actually love that movie.
You know, it's just something about those kind of movies.
I just don't take it too seriously. Like, it's like, whatever.
Yeah, and that's kind of what you have to do with, like, A Knight's Tale, but it was that movie, I think, that really kind of hit me when I hear modern music and sci-fi. Unless it's something like, you know, supposed to be present time, you know, it's like, it's always one of those where you're kind of like, okay, in the future, and we're listening to Sabotage, or, you know, even in First Contact, while I love First Contact, you know, Magic Carpet Ride and Ooby Dooby
from the 70s,
you know, are kind of like, you know,
I mean, I get it.
I do.
Obviously, you don't have to write a new song.
Right.
But I don't know. The only time that it makes sense is in Next Generation, when Picard listens to an opera or classical, because that's music that's never going to die.
Right. You know, there's that. You know, even when Riker played jazz, it was like, yeah. You know, it was like, okay, that's like cultural. It's cultural.
Right.
It's that kind of thing.
It's music that isn't really set in an era because right. No one's like speaking.
Right. You know? But even now, like you listen to it now, you know, it's hundreds of years old. You know, it's 100 years or more old, you know, or maybe even older. So it's still like, oh, okay. So you can kind of relate to that. But it's like when you're hearing something like, yeah, like, you're like, really, Wyclef? That's what we're listening to on the disco?
I mean, it is.
On the disco?
It is a party track. You know, I'm not hating
on
the selection.
I dig the song. Like, I dig the song because to me it's just, it's got that cool little beat to it, you know, and all that. And I dig the song, but it was just kind of like, you know, it listened to it. And then... You see the party lights from the outside of the window.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, the party boat's arrived. Where's the captain's yacht? That's where I want to know. Where's that?
That's what they're partying on.
But it's whatever, you know.
It's whatever. Yeah. I mean, the episode was really good. I enjoyed it because of that. It was a fun episode, and I think it was perfectly timed for this series because we've been in such heavy stuff and
right.
And this season long storyline, which is fine. That's how shows are now.
Right.
But it was nice to have a little, you know, we're bullshitting now. Yeah. You know what I mean? This is going to be fun, but it was still Star Trek.
We got, and it was very, it was a filler episode, but you brought back Mudd, which we never found out how he did say he escaped with the bug, but of course you can't trust him.
Yeah. Who knows?
He says, but you know, it was just, there was a lot of cool stuff. I thought the characters all kind of got to shine in this one, and seeing all the different things of Lorca getting killed and the ship blowing up. And, you know, the one thing, the scene that I thought was really, really cool was between Stance and Michael, when they were talking about how she was saying about being awkward and never, you know, that she'd never been loved and stuff like that. And they're like, oh, the time's up. And then they, like, you see the shot of them holding hands as the ship blows up around them. I was like,
oh yeah, we did get a fair amount of every episode's kind of character development for Michael, but we got some more of the softer side of Michael, right. You know, which was nice, more human.
I loved Stance when he tried to get Tilly away. Oh look, I just saw a really hot guy over there, and he's in a band. And
right,
she takes off. You know,
hey, is it just me or every episode now they've kind of let that I was raised by Vulcans thing fade away, and now she just feels like a science officer.
Yeah, she just feels like a science officer.
They're not drilling that into the fucking ground, right? Which is nice.
Which, yeah, and but the thing I think is the fact that I think they like, I guess at this particular point they felt like they'd done it enough. They're like, okay, I think everybody knows she was raised as a, we spent first half of this first season. You know, yeah. This first half of the first half of the season, you know, drilling it into people. But I think now it's because, you know, I think it's because of because the Discovery is giving her this like new lease on life, you know, with what she's doing and what she, you know, her, you know, still being kind of an outsider, but still feeling kind of included, which I think this whole episode was about. I think at the same time, it's kind of giving her this like new lease to kind of, you know, like, okay, she was lied to by Sarek, you know, about everything. And then she's kind of trying to forge her own path in this aspect of like, you know, I can be logical and all this stuff, but at the same time, I guess she's kind of embracing her humanity at some point, you know? And I think that's kind of what we're kind of seeing her character grow. But, you know, in that instance too, you know, we're seeing all the other characters growing as well. So, which is cool. And I dig that one. What was I going to say? There was something else I was going to say about this episode. Any points you wanted to make on this one?
No, not really. I mean, it was just a fun episode. It was, it felt like a little bit of a break from the heavy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think this one too, since it was slowed down a little bit because it wasn't in the main thing.
Right.
It showed off the acting chops of a lot of the actors. I think they got some. They have a solid cast.
The dude that plays Tyler, I dig him.
Yeah,
I dig.
He's cool.
I dig him. He fits kind of a little Riker-ish.
Yeah.
And, you know, he has that charm that, you know,
he's a little more Soldier Boy though, yeah, than Riker is. You know. But yeah, but I see.
He's led with the top of his shoulders, not below his waist like Riker is.
Right, right. But no,
which we'll touch more on this week's away team episode.
They are doing, and they're doing it very subtly, but I care about the characters.
Yeah.
And almost every single one.
Yeah.
You know, the only ones I haven't cared about are the ones who haven't got a lot of screen time, like the Doctor.
I think they kind of needed to do more with him. I mean, they gave him part of an episode, but I think we really kind of need to.
Yeah, because it doesn't count the scenes he's had with Science Guy, because they're obviously a couple, and that was a shared thing. But yeah, he seems to be cool, but. We haven't, and it looks like they've put the captain on the sidelines for a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, after last week's, or the week before's episode with
right,
that whole thing, because that got deep and dark quick.
Yeah, it did.
So, you know, it's very interesting to see how that's going to play out. But yeah, all in all, I mean, some of the characters, like I said, yeah, like we said, the Doctor, he kind of needs to fill out a little bit. We've seen a lot of the As opposed to most Star Trek episodes, it's, you know, most Star Trek shows, the bridge officers are always the, you know, the ensemble. And this one, it really seems to kind of just pare down to Stance, Michael, Lorca, now Ash. You know, we don't really have much beyond those four, or yeah, those four characters. Right. You know, even in the Next Gen, I mean, even in the original series, it was always Kirk, Spock, and McCoy, but Sulu developed, Scotty developed, Uhura developed, Chekhov. You know, it hasn't really expanded beyond that point. So yeah, but you know, and Saru gets a good point in the next episode. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was really cool. But in this one, everybody was just kind of, you kind of got a little more of the main. And I always kind of dug, I for some reason I kind of dug the surprise when Ash or Lorca, when they said Mud, like they knew, and they. Even in the background, you saw Saru kind of look at the captain like, you know this fucker? You know this bitch? So, you know, but it was cool. And I liked the way they manipulated Mud into resetting the timeline so they can try to break this thing that he's doing. So. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how the season falls up. This was a good break, which I think is actually kind of good because the next episode kind of is a prelude to the winter finale.
Yeah.
So that should be interesting. And then once we get the winter finale, then I believe it's a 2-month break until it comes back in mid-January. And then they think it ends at the end of or middle of February. So...
it's weird that they're even having a break, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, they only did, well, according to this it says 15 episodes, but I thought, oh yeah, then they might have been 15 episodes. I don't know why they just didn't do it all in, you know, all in a rush, but you know, CBS is all about, well, let's get people to hold on to the CBS app. You know, we don't want to get in 15 weeks and then they all dump after a while, you know.
Right.
But people are going to do it anyway. They're going to say like, okay, I got 2 months till this comes back. Okay, I'll cancel for those 2 months and then restart up. Get that tree file, motherfucker. Because that's what we would do.
Right.
So anything else you wanted to say about this episode before we wrap Magic Can Make the Sanest Man Go Mad?
No, I think we've covered it, really.
All right. All right, guys. So be sure to also look for the next episode, which will be out also at the same time, Savis Pacem Parabellum. Fuck you and your titles. It's all. And also be sure to tune in on Friday for our traditional away team episode, Up the Long Ladder, where Adam bonds with his heritage in this episode.
Wow,
you said it.
I mean. It's okay when I say.
Oh, okay. But it's whatever.
Right.
That better be a hashtag after you guys listen to that episode.
It's whatever.
It's whatever. Thanks for tuning in. If you like what I'm doing, you have two ways to help out. One, you can make a one-time donation to make this show self-sustaining through either PayPal, Cash App, or Venmo. Check the show notes for details and links. Or two, you can share us on social media or review us on Apple Podcasts. That will make the algorithm gods, you know, promote our show to an unsuspecting public. You can also stalk me on Facebook, facebook.com/thelazygeeks4, Instagram, YouTube, Threads, or TikTok under @thelazygeeks, all one word. If you're old school, you can email us at thelazygeeksnetwork@gmail.com. Want to read some news, blogs, or just some of my random musings? Check out the blog at thelazygeeks4.wordpress.com. So that's it for me this week. So until next time, I'm Stephen Vargas. One to beam up.